fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I have a special guest today, and hopefully he'll be here with us all week. His name is Dr. Robert Horton. Dr. Bob is an agronomist from Iowa State University. That means he's a soil scientist. But more than that, he's a father, friend, and a brother, and he is a missionary disciple. We've talked on the program many times of the vision of Pope Francis that every parish, every diocese is called to be a community of missionary disciples. And that I've known Bob for many years, and he's a man who's really integrated his faith by God's grace on many levels, and God has used him powerfully, both in his career, but also in his parish and around the world. So welcome, Bob.
Thanks, Peter. It's a delight to be here with you this morning.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're able to come. We've known each other for so long. And Bob, I just want our friends and our listeners to be able to fundamentally just hear your story, kind of where you began and just how God's plan unfolded in your life and how he surprised you and how he got your attention and what he showed you about what was possible for the life of a disciple.
Well, I'm one of five sons to our parents, and our parents are originally from Massachusetts, and my dad was orphaned as a boy, and he joined the U.S. Air Force, and he got married. They moved around a lot. I was born in Germany. We came back to the States, and we lived in Georgia and then Texas. And as we were growing up, we were a Catholic family, so I was a cradle Catholic, but we weren't really following disciples through the week. We went to Mass on Sunday, but through the week, we did not have a strong emphasis on a relationship with God or a priority on God. We emphasized education and sports, and that's how I grew up. I went to college at Texas A&M University, and at Texas A&M University, I didn't really know what to study. I wasn't really super mature and struggled a little bit, you know, focusing myself. And after 1 year of study, I came home to San Antonio for a summer job, and I thought about dropping out of school. But my father, who had been orphaned, did not really want me to drop out. He was afraid I wouldn't go back to school. So he encouraged me to stay in there. I did a little bit of soul searching, and I thought, who am I? And I recognized inside of me a strong compassion for people without enough food, for hungry people. So I decided to explore agriculture, and I found a major called agronomy, soil science. And I took those classes. I'd never heard it before. It's the first time I heard the word agronomy. We weren't a farming family, and I changed my major and loved it. And then I really engaged my studies at that time. While I was a student, I had a girlfriend, and I did not have the best boundaries. We did not have the best boundaries for a healthy relationship. We were acting outside of healthy, wholesome boundaries, and I think it pricked our consciences, both of us, and we decided to get married. And we didn't do it very well. We didn't involve our families. We, you know, did it kind of in a selfish way, I'd say a rebellious way. And we went to a local justice of the peace, and we got married. None of our family was with us. And we, you know, continued on in our studies. She was a student at Texas A&M also. And I got into a groove of really putting too much attention on my studies. I studied in the day and in the afternoon, and you know, would rest a little bit and go back to work every evening. And I was a graduate student, and I was getting more and more interested in science. Graduated with a master's degree and moved to New Mexico for a PhD degree. And at that same time, we had a daughter born. And then I really engaged my studies. And part of it was a little bit of a fear that maybe I didn't really have the right stuff to be a PhD in science. And so I really worked hard to cover that up. And then what happened was I had a lot of good fruit in my academics. I had, you know, papers published and gave talks at conferences. And when it came time for me to graduate, I had a lot of good interviews at Cornell University, Johns Hopkins University, in industry, and at Iowa State University. And I got job offers, and I thought Iowa State University would be the best fit for what I was doing in soil science. It's a heavily agricultural state, a lot of interest in soils, and a lot of support for that. So I accepted the job at Iowa State University, and my family, we had a second daughter born. But I engaged my work. I put an emphasis on my work. It's the same. There's a lot of demands for young faculty members to succeed. There's this period that's called a pre-tenure period where you have to produce and show that you have the ability to build the program, to teach, to get grant money, to do research, to publish, and to really have all the elements involved in having a program. So, you know, again, kind of fear-based motivation, and I just had an emphasis on my work. And I think it was kind of a selfishly driven sort of a thing. But I worked all day, would eat supper, and then go back to work in the evening. And I really didn't spend a lot of time with my young family. Then we found out that my wife was pregnant again, and I had two daughters. So I thought, well, maybe it's time for a son, maybe. You know, that would round out our family. So we went to the hospital, and our third child was born, a baby girl. And then about 1 or 2 minutes later, the doctor said, we're going to have a surprise. And we had a surprise twin. And so we came home from the hospital with four daughters. Had four daughters, young family, great family. Externally, everything looked good. I had had an early promotion, early tenure in my job, was very successful in publishing and teaching. I had another university come after me and recruit me and offer me a job. Iowa State University wanted me to stay there, so they matched the offer, and I stayed at Iowa State. So I had a tenure, everything good, had a good salary increase, wife, four young children. And then two things happened that had a big impact on the direction of my life. I was at work one day, and I received a telephone call, and the person on the phone identified himself as a police officer. And the police officer said to me that there had been an accident in my home and that I should come home right away. So I went home and found out that our youngest daughter, our surprise twin, who was 1 year old at the time, her name is Anna Marie, there had been a bucket in our house that had some water in the bucket, and she was a toddler, and she somehow climbed up into the bucket. It didn't tip over, and she landed head first with her face submerged in water. And when she was found, she wasn't breathing. She was taken by ambulance to the local hospital, and I went to that hospital, and over the next couple of days, her body function after body function just shut down and did not recover, and she was pronounced dead a couple of days later. And it was a really sad time in our life and quiet time. I remember how quiet it was at home after that happened, and just, you know, kind of a sadness and, you know, not really knowing, you know, how to respond. And I chose to just continue in my work the same way. So I just continued doing my work in the same pattern with the focus on going to work, go home just to rest, so that I could have enough energy to go back to work. And I stayed on that focus. Then a short time later, just a couple months later, I received another phone call at work, and it was from my wife. And she said that she wanted me to come home. She wanted to talk to me about something important. But it was the middle of the day, and I was busy, and I told her, you know, do I really have to come home? Can't we just talk on the phone because I'm busy? And she said, well, I didn't really want to say this to you on the phone, but I'm pregnant. I don't think you're the father of the baby, and I'm going to leave our marriage. And so I went home immediately, and her bags were packed, and she left. And I was in our home with our three daughters, and I was just decimated emotionally. I didn't expect this to happen. This was nowhere on my radar screen. And I was, I would say, in emotional shock in response to this event. And it was like a dark cloud came into my mind, and it was just dark and bleak, no hope, like a despair, deep despair and darkness inside of me. And I had a temptation that day, especially in the evening when my children were asleep and I was alone. It's like the time slowed down. Got very slow, and I had a temptation to commit suicide that day. But I thought about my young daughters in their beds, and I was able to just reject it and to say no to that. But I did not have a lot of hope at that time in my life. It was a very, very difficult period of days and weeks and months after that. I pursued my wife to try to reconcile our marriage because it was like, you know, dreams were broken. Even though I wasn't living well, I still had the dreams. All the things I had done at work seemed empty to me at that time. They weren't as important as my marriage and my family. But as I pursued my wife, she moved farther and farther away and filed for divorce and actually took up with this other man who turned out to be the father of the baby that she was carrying. And she just closed every door. And I tried and tried, and friends and family who I had shared this with were gently encouraging me to turn to God. But my mind wasn't there. I wanted to do everything that I could do. And I tried my best on writing and calling and trying, but she just moved far and farther away. And finally, it was like a spiraling down. It was just like a thud at the bottom of a deep pit when I realized, you know, she's just not going to come back. And then at that time, I was able to hear the encouragement from my friends to call out and to pray and to ask for God's help. And so I made a decision to do that. And so I made a decision to do some honest prayers. I think the first time in my adult life to pray, God, if you exist, because I wasn't 100% sure, but if you exist, please come to me. Please show me because I need help. I need your help. And I made these honest prayers to God and reached out and decided also that I needed to do my part. So I started to pray daily and multiple times a day, and I started to read the scriptures daily and in the quietness of my house, because I had a lot of energy through my body. It was difficult to sleep. My children would go to bed, and then I'd have to be alone, but I started praying and reading the scriptures, and what were helpful to me in the scriptures were some of the Psalms. If I read the praise psalms, they didn't speak to me at all because I didn't experience that joy and thanksgiving. But if I read the psalms that were sad and troubling, I could relate to them. And with those psalms, I was able to also hear the end, that God heard my prayer, answered my prayer, and that gave me a lot of hope.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for sharing that, Bob. And I know He did hear your prayer, and there's so much more to your story. And friends, I'm here with Dr. Bob Horton from Iowa State University, a good friend who's been collaborated with us in Renewal Ministries over the years, and his extraordinary story of God's restoring and healing power, but also what happens when a disciple, when a baptized Catholic, when a person comes to realize God's call in their life in a much deeper way. Hope you can join us tomorrow. I think you'll be very encouraged by the story. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.